All right, welcome everyone. Great to see many people. I'm Jo from the KU Leuven University here in Belgium. I'm a professor there, and joining me for this talk later is Kobe, who started a PhD with us. And during his master thesis, he worked with me on this project I want to talk a bit about today. So this dev room kind of has a long history. And in one of the first editions, this was not called confidential computing, right? It was called trusted execution. And so what I want to talk about today is trust. And I really like this XKCD comic when we talk about trust, because it shows very visually that in computer systems, trust is very much a vertical thing, right? You can see how if something goes wrong here at the bottom of the stack, the whole thing falls down, right? And we are engineers, we all know this way too well. But if you really want to think more about trust and this idea that you depend on operating systems and compilers and so on, I very much recommend to have a look at the Turing Award lecture of Ken Thompson. Ken Thompson, I think you all know him, developer of Unix, inventor of the B programming language that preceded C. And it's very nice, he had a talk, it's also a nice little paper, it's only a couple of pages, where he really thinks about what happens if you start implementing backdoors, malicious code, in lower layers of the system stack, let's say, in compilers in this case. And he concludes somewhere at the end of these couple of pages, it's written in a very accessible style. So he says, the moral is obvious, you can't trust code that you did not totally create yourself. And I think he adds after that, especially if it's written by people like me. And so this, I think, is something to really think about and that I will repeat a couple of times later on in the talk. So if you create code yourself and it's not too big, you might have a reasonable trust, at least not in terms of bugs, but at least in terms of, let's say, backdoors. I think that's also very much the spirit of trusted execution. So if we go from reflections on trusting trust and the Turing Award lecture to reflections on trusting trusted execution environments, you all know these pictures, been shown a couple of times today. The idea, of course, of trusted execution, of confidential computing, is to put big software stacks like the operating system outside of the trusted computing base, such that we can embed trust directly in the processor and the enclave. And if you look at that picture, a lot of the research that the community as a whole has been doing, but also our group in Leuven, is trying to look at these two green boxes. And on the one hand, you have a trusted processor. We all know that's not perfect. There have been a number of high-impact attacks, some of them we did in the past, like the foreshadow attack, that show if things go wrong in the CPU, in terms of the microarchitecture, the whole thing falls down again. That's not what I want to talk about today. If you want to talk about that, come find me in the hallway. Super exciting stuff. But what I want to talk about today is the inverse side of that, namely, what do we put inside that, what I call an enclave now, but it could also be a CVM, a confidential virtual machine. What do you put inside a trust boundary? Software is not perfect, also has bugs. And in this respect, I think we've all seen in this confidential computing dev room as well, a shift over the more recent years from this original idea of confidential computing or trust execution, which was very small containers, typically isolated at the level of a function call and the original idea of SGX, towards what the industry is now adopting on the large scale, isolating full VMs with technology like SEV, like TDX, like CCA. It has been vastly covered in the last talks already, right? So let's go back. What I want to do today is not talk about VMs, maybe a nice hardware discussion. But I want to talk a bit more about this original idea of small enclaves. And if you look at SGX, which still maybe was the most ambitious to date, I'm maybe partially at fault for that, but SGX has gotten a lot of bad publicity, right? And Intel needs to do something with that. So one of the things they did is to try to sell that, and to some extent that's fair, and they say, Intel SGX is the most researched and battle-tested trusted execution environment. That's good marketing, I think. But they also say something very interesting here. It has the smallest attack surface within the system. And the idea there is, of course, in a confidential VM, you put your several million lines of code Linux kernel in there. And in SGX, the idea is we write small, good things, right? And that's trustworthy. So that's the idea. The star eyes here all is fine. Okay, that's what, when we also started using that in Leuven, we were on board with that idea. But then the reality hit, right? And the reality is we now have a vast, quite big open source ecosystem to develop IntelliJ enclaves. And again, I'm very much aware there is a lot there, but I'm going to look at the projects that try to build enclaves in the most minimal way. And those are not language integration and library operating systems, but those are what we call software development kits, right? So they allow you to write an enclave in C. And there's two of those in production today. You have the one from Intel, the Intel SDK, and you have the one from Microsoft, essentially, the Open Enclave SDK. And so what we did together with Koba in the thesis was, let's first just try to map out the landscape. Yeah? How big are these things? And you see just a simple slog count here. And we're talking, okay, maybe not about million lines of code, like in Linux, but we're talking about hundreds of thousands of lines of code. And this is already, let's say, very kindly measured, because if you measure in the root directory, it's much more, because they have all these Git submodules, and for some reason they have the whole Google proto buff in there, so it's bad, right? But takeaway here is you want to isolate a small secret, yeah? It's like say this little apple here, and you want to package that in an enclave container, and instead of putting that in a nice little box that you can reason about, you put it in a big truck, right? And so that's what we are doing. That's at least questionable. Right. That's bad because software is buggy. Yeah? And in some of the past research, we also showed that. This is a press report of when we did a first analysis. We've done many since, also automated tools. But this shows that these hundreds of thousands of lines of code have vulnerabilities. And again, I'm coming back to my friend here, Ken Thompson, who says, yeah, this again shows you can't trust these hundreds and thousands of lines of code, and you cannot reasonably check them all, right? Okay, they may be open source, and that's great, but have fun going through all these hundreds of thousands of lines of code. And so the idea for this project is, can we do better? Can we maybe build enclaves that we can totally, like, where we write all of the code that goes in there, literally all of the code, and then maybe we can trust them, right? That's the idea. Okay, and that's the topic of today. I started thinking about that long ago, and one of the things you need to do, of course, when you want to make enclaves, SGX enclaves in this case, is to talk to the hardware. And you talk to the hardware typically through the operating system. And so many of you will know the Linux kernel nowadays has upstream support for SGX. It took a lot of effort and blood and tears, yeah, but we now have this /dev/SGX enclave. And so what I wanted to do is, okay, can I talk to that driver directly to create enclaves for me? And it looked to turned out, I don't have to do that from scratch, because there was already some support in the Linux kernel in the form of the what they call self-test substructure of the kernel directory, where essentially there's a bunch of small tests, and they had some sort of test enclave there, and I looked at that, that looked interesting, right? You just have a C file and an assembly file, you ram that through something like GCC, typically GCC, you might also want to use Clang. And then you get an ELF file, and they have a very small C file, loader.c or something, and that basically talks to the driver. And they use that in Linux explicitly because they wanted to test their driver infrastructure without pulling in these hundreds of thousands of lines of code. Okay, so I thought that's great. Let's use that. And started looking a bit at that, and this is actually part of the project that Martin mentioned earlier in the Open IPE. He talked that we have this symbolic infrastructure, symbolic execution infrastructure. And so one of the projects we did there, in this Pandora project, find the paper here, is to check small enclaves. And I checked this test, self-test enclave, and it was full of bugs, right? It's quite bad because some of that was even like to some extent used in production by Intel. Okay, so you find bugs. The next thing you do is you try to fix them. So I talked to the Linux kernel developers, and what you see here is that Dave Hansen, maintainer of the x86, one of the maintainers of the x86 subsystem, basically said, look, I see you have a point, but I don't want to have this in the kernel. Yeah? And he said, there is a gap, and it would be wise to close this gap, but take it basically in a fork. Yeah? And that's where this Bear SGX project was born. I forked off this code from the Linux kernel and started sort of making that into a self-contained framework to build enclaves. Okay. looks basically like this. Huh? We have the same idea here that you have basically an assembly file. If you want a C file, you don't even have to do that. And if you want, there is some trusted library that Kobo will talk a bit about. But the basic idea is you run that into a very small enclave. And then there is some untrusted runtime functionality that then talks to the driver. And the cool thing is, this is all packaged these days in a build root file system. So you basically have a super small VM that runs and that as an only dependency has the upstream kernel driver, which is supposed to be forward and backward compatible, right? So it should be fine if you build a BearSGX enclave, you don't touch it in maybe 10 years. Hopefully, if the hardware is there, you might be able to run it. And bear in mind, these are super small enclaves. We're talking really about a couple of pages, typically one code page plus then the architectural pages you need, like the thread control structure and the safe state area. So here you see a screenshot of this build root container, and you basically see you can just operate them, you can interact with them like normal C programs, essentially. And you even get some ASCII art for free. And another thing I did already is to integrate this with the SGX STEP attack framework. Some of you will know this if you're researching attacks on SGX like we do, which means that you can do all kinds of rapid prototyping of small attacks and maybe also make them long-term available without pulling in these dependencies from the SDK that are very fragile. So that's the story of what you can do with BearSGX from perhaps a researcher side, but Kobo also worked in his master thesis on trying to make something real, right? So, and I'll hand over to him to explain that a bit.
All right, so as everybody says, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. So that's what I did. I built a prototype. In this prototype, I ported HackleStar, which is a high-assurance cryptographic library that has been formally verified in FSTAR. And so just as a proof of concept, we made that work in our BearSGX enclave SDK. So an application with a C file, and you have some buffer. You want to, for example, calculate the hash, and that can be done entirely inside the enclave. What did I do? This bridge code that is needed between the application and the enclave is automatically generated. As it's really error prone, you can't trust on yourself to write it. It has to be done by someone really smart or by Edgerator. So this Edgerator tool also has a lot of dependencies, and I fulfilled these dependencies with caution and with care. So I implemented from VRTOS a heap implementation with this really bare bones and really minimal that can be really is trustworthy. And I also implemented some small libc. So what does this all mean from a performance point of view? If we look at the y-axis, you see the amount of lines of code, so the actual line count of the trusted code. And for our project BearSGX, you can see that's only limited to a really, really tiny amount. And especially if you look at the binary size, we're below a usual page. So that's astonishingly minimal. Right there. So if we look at it from the application included, you can see that's really, really small runtime that we have to trust. And again, the runtime that we have is really trustworthy from VRTOS. And so again, this application part is also really massive, but high assurance because it has been formally verified. If we look at the performance, because we also want performance, we don't just want security, you can see on the y-axis the CPU cycles that are needed to perform certain calculations. So we have the bare bones return enclave that immediately returns upon entering. And then we have the HMAC calculation and the authenticated encryption. The lightly marked area is the area that is absolutely minimal for an enclave to perform. So if that's the theoretical limit that we can achieve, and you can see that we're with the bare SGX return enclave super duper close, and also outperform a lot of the state-of-the-art production SDKs. And then maybe zoom in, because the CPU cycle count is a bit perturbed. The actual instruction is really large to enter the enclave. So if we only look at the instructions that are executed with SGX steps, where we can interrupt the enclave step by step, instruction by instruction, you can see that we, for the really bare bones enclave, we only have 29 instructions, which is, as we would say, bare minimum. So to conclude, the reality is right now that Intel SGX, the Intel SDK, is quite large, and one could say, it's really bloated. It is a large attack surface, and again, our trusted computing base is massive. Actually, the goal or the dream that we would try to avoid and keep a minimal TCB is a bit lost. So what we introduce is a small box with a small Apple bare SGX, where it's truly minimal trust and where you can actually know all the code that's inside and know what we are using. There's tons of use cases, for example, formal verification, but you can think about, like Jo said, with the prototyping or the long-term packaging, anything is possible. So one last thing, it's all open source. You can scan the QR code or access the link. As you can see, I recently joined the DistroNet research group. It's a fun place and it's a nice working environment. So if you're interested, there's also a link down below for that. And if there are any questions, happy to answer. So quickly repeating the question, what other parts do you consider to be formally verified, or are you thinking about? So we have some projects ongoing right now to formally verify the iterator bridge code that has been generated, and that would already cover a lot. The tlibc that I wrote is also really minimal, so it's a memcopy and memset, for example, that's basically it. And then also the heap implementation from FreeRTOS is also left behind. But there's also been some rumors about people wanting to formally verify that. So that's a bit the state that we are currently in today.
Just to rephrase, like, it's not really use cases. It's kind of some future work that you are planning, that some parts which are not verified, you can verify, right? Is it correct?
Yeah. Maybe, wait, if I unclip and I just hold it.
So the question, your follow-up question was whether this is future work or not. So I think, yeah. So when we say use cases, the idea is that formal verification and enclaves go very well together, right? Because we have security critical code, typically that is of a relatively small size. The problem is, if you take something like HackleStar and you just put that in an enclave with tooling that we have today, you would add 200,000 of unverified lines of code, right? And we've also had some prior work, for instance, with Martin on doing attacks on HackleStar in an embedded context where there was some bridge code that was unverified that then invalidated the nice F-star security proofs. And the idea is, twofold. On the one hand, can we minimize that code? That's what we have today. That's what Cobo built. And you see here, the code is minimal. But the immediate future work would be, can we also get security guarantees, formal security guarantees for that minimal code? So this is now in the scope of being small enough to formally verify. At the moment, and That's a spectrum of things. One of the things we are doing already is to symbolically execute that. That does not give you as strong security guarantees, perhaps, as something like FSTAR. But we also have other work, for instance, to do more sound verification at the C language level with a tool called Verifast. But so the idea is to engineer something that is in the scope of formal verification. Yes, by all means, I think we should do that. I would like to create something like BearsX, BearTDX, BearsV, and so on. I think in terms of VM-based architectures, we can probably use the systems engineering work from the last decades on microkernels and nanokernels and all that, right? Also, if you were interested in that, maybe... So we don't have it yet. But if you're interested in that, have a look at either NRX, which is a small from scratch WebAssembly runtime, or Tom Dorman's FOSDEM talk from last year called Mushroom, right? Which also has, I think, similar spirit of can we build something from scratch, not just run a plain Linux in there.